hell?
Everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
You know, one thing was just big rip, you know, rip the ball away and just dunk it and scream in Lillard's face. And
That was a little too aggro for me, but yeah.
It's a little bit, it was. But I was excited with him.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jervis with the shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounce kids?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is December 11th, 2016, and this is episode 207, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering a busy week in Pacers basketball, 5 games in total, as the Pacers finish off a road swing against the Clippers, Warriors, Suns, and Mavs, and come home to play the Blazers. Before we get started, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it here. We are on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message or send us an email. We are at shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. Joining me are our 3 analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Shout out to Old Man Winter, who showed up this week. It is frigid in the district. Double back-to-back shout-outs to the chairwoman, to Leslie in Guatemala, who I confirmed this week is still listening to the pod. So we're international now, boys.
Nice.
And she just had a birthday. So happy birthday, Leslie.
Hey, shout out.
Shout out. Happy international birthday. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? I'd like to shout out Godney Stuckey, who, if you listened last week, I maybe disparaged a little bit and suggested he might need to be traded and then put together a really solid week of basketball. So, shout out.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the show, Rodney. Way to put that on the bulletin board.
Coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Shout out this week to Larry Legend. Turned 60 this week. Another year wiser, we hope.
Hopefully cracking some sweet Budweisers.
That's right.
We got a busy week of basketball, like I said, at the top. 5 games this week. The first one, Pacers take on the Clippers Sunday, December 4th. And they win this one, 111-102. This is in L.A. I don't know what's going on particularly, but the Pacers got the Clippers number this year. Jason, what is going on that the Pacers can do this against this team, but maybe not some of the other teams?
Yeah, I don't know. this game was really interesting. Because, like, the first time the Pacers beat the Clippers just came out flat. Right, and sometimes that happens in the NBA. You just have an off night, nobody can make anything. This game, the Clippers came out on fire and were up by 15 in the first quarter, at least the first half. And the Pacers crawled their way back in it, just got possession by possession. Like, slowly creep their way back into it by halftime, and then murdered them in the third quarter, 35-17. Came out of the break with just a real intensity. We're up by 20 at some point in the second half before the Clippers then rallied back and made it interesting down the stretch. But I thought this was the most impressive win of the season for the Pacers. The Clippers are a super quality team, and not only that, but the Pacers, in a situation where it would have been easy for them to fold, did not do that and just kept fighting and clawing. And I was really impressed by this game. This was and contributions up and down the board. Six guys in double figures in this game. No, seven guys.
Seven.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Godney Stuckey.
Yeah. No, I really felt like his downhill play really made a difference in this. He would just get the ball and run at the basket, and it really put the Clippers on their heels. He ends up with 16 points on 7 of 10 shooting. I thought his energy and effort made a difference in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got out-rebounded by 16 in this game and somehow managed to only fall short 2 in total shot attempts. Mm-hmm. And then when we were shooting the ball, we scored 58 in the paint.
Mm.
Against DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, just going after him.
I mean, that's solid, aggressive basketball. I like it.
Yeah, got to the line a ton. 35 attempts in this game and made 80% of those. So that'll help you. The other thing the Pacers did was take care of the basketball. Only 11 turnovers in this game while forcing 20 from the Clips. I mean, that's how you get those shots back when you're giving up a bunch of offensive rebounds, right? Is you turn the other team over. Pacers super good in this one.
I think this was the game that I learned that Dan Burke's goal is to have 35 deflections a game. And I think we were at like 33 in this game, so real active hands. And also of note, Paul George was back, and I thought his huge shot there with like a minute and a half to go really sealed this victory. It's nice to have a superstar on your team who's willing to hit the big shots. So
yeah, CJ Miles comes back too, so that helps.
Good.
Even though he wasn't as effective from 3-point range as he will talk about later in the week. I think he definitely impacted things, just him being out there.
Of course, he came into this plus 18 in the plus minus box this game. Yeah. So.
And coming into this game, he was leading the league in 3-point percentage. That changes as the week goes on, but red hot CJ Miles.
Did you know that he was leading the league in 3-point shooting percentage wise? He's like shooting, or at least
not
I think
now,
in
but
this
going
not
this
anymore.
Game, yeah.
But coming into this game, he was shooting 48% from 3-point range or something.
Yep.
Just gaudy numbers.
Yeah, that was just a super quality win. You know, on the Clippers side, you know, they had a pretty good showing from their Griffin and Paul, but not enough to take down the good guys.
You know, they're so easy to get to frustrate them. Like, if you just make life difficult for them, they fold really quickly. I mean, I guess they fought back in this game, which was a good sign for them, I think, in the long run. But it's amazing how quickly they start sniping at the refs and sniping at each other and just stop playing really good basketball as soon as the going gets tough. I don't think it bodes well for their championship aspirations at all.
They're just, when you're an older team, you have to conserve energy so that they'll be ready to fold in the playoffs.
I see.
To their full potential.
The next night, Pacers travel to Oakland, Golden State, take on the Warriors. And this one ended similarly to the previous matchup against the Warriors did. A big blowout. 142-106, just another one. I think the big story from this game was, of course, not anybody from the Pacers, but Klay Thompson goes bananas, 60 points, and he could have gone for way more. Harper, you're our resident Warriors expert. Was Klay, what would you say was going on in Klay's head?
His brain turned off. and he was just in full go mode. He was not out there thinking about basketball. He was just being the basketball. Such an impressive performance. All kinds of crazy stats from this game, including the fact that he scored 60 without turning the ball over. Somebody went back and watched film, which I haven't gone back and verified. This seems still outrageous to me, but 11 dribbles on his 60 points, where he ended the possession with a shot. I mean, just unbelievable stuff.
Wasn't it like he had the ball for a total of less than 90 seconds or something like that?
Yeah, like 88 and change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he ends up scoring 60 in 29 minutes.
Jesus.
The guy just couldn't miss. 33 shots, 8 of 14 from three-point land. And his team played pretty well around him, too. Steph Curry had 11 dimes. Draymond had 10 dimes. I like to think that, you know, the first time we went out and saw this team, we lost by 37. We trimmed that back to 36. So in just 18 short years, we'll be able to beat this team.
Yeah, they're just ridiculous. I mean, yeah, you know, especially when Klay Thompson is unconscious. But just the way that they move the ball.
He's their third scorer, and he put up 60. What do you do with that team?
Yeah. And we don't defend the three-point line that well as it is, and teams that move the ball against us and execute offensively get nice open shots. And they just were, like, wide open the entire time. And then the few times that you did have a hand in somebody's face, they still hit it. It doesn't matter. This team is going to be hard to beat, I think, in the playoffs.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
They're averaging as a team 31.1 assists per game.
Oh my God.
The next highest team are the Rockets with 24.9. That's a difference of 7.2, is that right? 6.8?
7-ish.
Yeah, 7-ish. Mm-hmm. Sorry, 6.2. I'm on crack. And the Phoenix Suns are last in the league at 18.6, which is a difference of 6.3. So they're leading the league by as much as the rest of the league has in differential.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Yep, they're also leading the team in, or leading the league in blocks and steals.
Yeah, and they can control that. They outboarded us by 14 in this game, and they took 19 more shots than we did. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, did anybody on the Pacers like show well?
No, there weren't really any positives. I mean, Joe Young got some minutes, and
I mean, Paul George was getting to the free throw line. That was a good thing, but
sure, he double doubled and he was working hard on Clay. It didn't matter.
It didn't matter. Yeah.
By the second quarter, you're just watching to see how many Clay's going to score, and he just never cooled off.
Yeah. It's just not fair when they have three guys on their team that could do that, right?
Yeah, Klay Thompson now has the highest single per game scoring game on a team that also has Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Right. They're both at like 60 or 58 or something.
Previous MVPs.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that game wasn't a blowout, you may have seen, you know, you probably would have seen him on the floor for more and see if you could have get it higher up. You know, maybe he could break Kobe's number. Or I think he was on the 100 points a game record. He was on just under pace for that. But there's just, you know, Kerr doesn't seem like he wants. He doesn't really let the guys go for. He wouldn't leave them in just to get records. It seems like he doesn't generally do that. But we'll never know.
No.
And the Pacers lost.
Yeah. But his teammates were super into it and making sure that they found him the ball. That team had that. They have so much fun.
Yeah. That's the other thing. You know, there's this whole people wonder if they're going to ever embrace the villain role. But I don't know that they're the villains because they're so fun to watch, right? Like that Miami team was easy to hate when they formed a super team because they played an ugly style of basketball, I think. They eventually started playing small ball and playing better. But this Warriors team, like, you can't help but, you know, like, get excited watching them play. Like, it's just crazy. So,
yeah. They also had a guy who scored 60 and had 45 assists anyway. I hate them.
Yeah, those weren't just ISO, you know, plays the whole game. It was within the flow of the game. It was Clay getting open and then finding him. You know, he was moving. It was a natural game. It wasn't anything forced.
Mm-hmm.
It was just dumber.
Just dumber.
Well, that's the most ESPN play we're going to get all season, so thanks, Clay. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
great.
Well, the Pacers get one night off, head to Phoenix, take on the Suns, and, you know, I was hoping that they were going to respond to their beating, and they did, I think. They took down the Suns, paid them back from the loss earlier in the season, and won 109-94. Colson, you know, I was a little worried that they weren't going to be able to do this and weren't going to rebound well. You know, they're on a road trip, so they're going to be tired, and they just got embarrassed. What was the difference this game?
Yeah, I was very concerned about this game because they ran us off the floor in the field house. But instead we went into Talking Stick Arena and bullied them a little bit. You know, they have four teenagers on their team. They go with a lot of spread the floor with five smalls and shooters. And when we brought in Big Al, I thought it made a big difference. Al Jefferson bullied them, and he was effective. He ends the game with 15 points, but I thought that really changed the dynamic of this game. Phoenix doesn't play a ton of defense, and so we were kind of able to score at will, but we kept this close by turning the ball over a bunch early in the game. It was close down the stretch, and Thaddeus Young, Paul George, and Turner all got huge O boards right in a row, and then we finished them off with a couple steals, and we were able to pull this game out. So, I mean, those things are effort and size things, and, you know, I thought it was a great effort. We really needed this win, and I thought it was great. I was really happy with this win.
Yeah, Paul George ate his matchup all night. I mean, 25, 13 boards, threw in three steals, got to the line 10 times. Wasn't shooting the ball great, but stayed aggressive and just really hungry on the glass. This is a team that you have to beat them on the glass, right? Because they're going to get their shots up and you have to control them. And we beat them by 16. We pulled on 60 boards in this game, which is a really good number for us.
And the aggressiveness in this game, not only George, but Teague and Jefferson, as you mentioned, Colson, getting into the lane and getting to the line. We took 41 free throws in this game. And that's what you need to do to grind out wins on the road.
They can't defend without fouling. They're just not they're not good enough defensively.
That's right. Super smart basketball. You know, I was watching this. I didn't actually get to see the fourth quarter, but I was watching this game and was commenting to Chairman. I was like, we should be up by 15. We're just missing shots right now. I felt like we're kind of not executing that great early on. But that's a nice road win to close a game out like that. You know, in a game that you could easily lose in the fourth quarter.
It was close going down the stretch, without a doubt. I was really man.
It's a sign of maturity, I think, of this team.
Yeah. We just got bigger and wanted it more, you know? Yeah. So we did.
We're more mature than a team with four teenagers on it. Yes.
Right. Exactly. Hey, but that's a good thing. I wasn't
sure.
That is
a very good thing.
And we don't have to go to the tough confines of Talking Stick Arena anymore this year.
Yeah, we'll take the split on that one. We owed them one. Managed to hold them under 115 this time, so we're good.
Yep.
Well, that was game 3 of 5 on this road trip. Or actually, yeah, that's right. Next one, they get a day off. Friday, December 9th, Pacers travel to Dallas, take on the Mavericks. And, you know, I was looking at this game as the most certain to the Pacers would win. And, you know, I know it's towards the end of the road trip, or it is the last one on the road trip, but the Mavericks are not good this year, and they didn't have two of their starters. So I chalked it up in my mind as a W, and they proved me wrong.
So it's your fault.
Challenge accepted.
I mean, I didn't tell them that, so I think it's double blind or something. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. They lose this one 111-103. I think it was maybe Carlisle. I don't know what it is. But Colson, was it the magic of Carlisle that kept his team in this game?
That's part of it. They came off a really bad loss. They got blown out by like 30 at home to Sacramento, and they had a team meeting. Carlisle kept them after the game, and they had to, you know, break down film after a loss and all this stuff. And it apparently was one of these things like, hey, yeah, we're the worst team in the league right now, but you can't be losing to Sacramento by 30. We're actually adults. Let's start playing like it kind of thing. And so they came into this game motivated. And they played hard. And we played sloppy and with low energy. This game stayed close because we were knocking down our three-pointers. And it masked the fact that we weren't playing that well. Mm-hmm. So we hit a lot of threes and we stayed in the game. We had an 8-point lead in the second quarter. And then they went on a 12-2 run, and we're up 2 at the half. And we never really recovered. Dan Burke said that it looks like we don't want to be here tonight, and there was some of that, you know. I hate that after such a great aggressive win in Phoenix to not take this team seriously or to have threes hitting and feeling like, hey, we can just beat this team on our hot shooting. And we couldn't. They played scrappier and better. Harrison Barnes and Wesley Matthews just ripped us up.
Yeah, I mean, as mature as that win in Phoenix was, this game was equally immature. You know, you go into this game and you have a chance to go. If we would have won this game, we would have gone 3-2 on this ridiculously tough 5-game road swing, right? And if you're a good basketball team, you see that opportunity and you seize it, right? And we just did not do that at all. And it's disappointing because you get good efforts in the sense that, you know, if you would have told me going into this game that we would have shot or made 14 three-pointers, out-rebounded the Mavs, only turned the ball over 13 times, and shot 46% from the field.
And 56 I would have said that's a win. Three-point land.
Yeah, exactly. And got to the line, made 25 of 26 free throws. Like, that's a game you got to win. I don't, you know. And I don't know what, I mean, it seemed like on the defensive end was where it fell apart for me. But
I watched this game twice. I still don't know what happened.
Okay, good.
Like, I'm so confused. They didn't even have a power forward. Like, they don't have one in their starting lineup for this game.
Yeah.
Miles Turner get to the line 10 times because they had nobody to guard him. Can we just dump it down there to him every time until they foul him?
He was so amped going home. Like, he was the only one that I felt like was playing with energy, but he was almost too amped. You know, like, a lot of his shots were going long, and he was making some silly defensive mistakes because he was just so excited. I thought Young didn't help him with that either. Like, there was a lot of miscommunication between the two of them in the front court.
I mean, defensively, we're a mess, right?
Yeah. And then Monte Ellis puts up, you know, 0 points in 22 minutes. Yeah,
he's trying to make a statement against...
Rough night for him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Trying to make a statement in Dallas. And that was not That was not the way to go. Like I said, every time that he touched the ball, it should have been in Miles' hands offensively.
Yeah, C.J. Miles is 6-9. You're saying Miles Turner, but I'm saying C.J. Miles. Yeah, it was. Anybody
named Miles.
C.J. Miles didn't play down the stretch. He was on fire. 6-9 from the range. Monta Ellis closes this game out. I mean, that's also a coaching thing, right? Like, keep the hot hand in.
If they're going to play us three guards, can I just play three bigs? Can I just trot out, you know,
Al Jefferson, Miles, and Young? Why not?
I want Teague, Miles, George, you know, Turner, and Jefferson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like, let's just go huge and just big boy the hell out of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to give Dallas some credit. They did execute very, very well. Like, they were totally into
they're
this
a really
game
well-coached
and,
team.
And without a doubt, really they're well-coached. Yeah.
Those Carlisle teams, they execute super well. And we, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we struggle against teams that execute really well in the half court.
Aren't they like the worst offense in the league, though? Don't they average like 92 points a game and we let them have 111? Like, they can.
92.7.
Yeah. I just feel like.
Really? They average that? That's ridiculous.
Well, they've been without Nowitzki all season.
True, but come on.
and defense is about communication and about effort, and apparently we had neither of those things in this game. So
yeah, I mean, Harrison Barnes and Wesley Matthews both played really great games. I mean, tons of effort. They really responded, and they got themselves into good spots, and they took advantage when they got there. You know, good on the maps, playing really hard, and knowing they had to protect their home court in a tough stretch. You know, I certainly don't want to take anything away. But I also agree with Joey that I had this circle.
Isn't this the kind of game?
It was your fault, too.
Yeah. And isn't this the kind of game? You know, Joey, we were at a game when I was home in Indianapolis against Houston, I think it was. Atlanta. I was saying to you, I was like, you know, in soccer, there's this term where they say this player just took this game by the scruff of the neck and won it for them, right? And that's what I really wanted Paul George to do in this game. Well, in that Atlanta game. And he didn't, right? And if we're going to be good, he's got to be doing that a lot more, I think. And that's called foreshadowing.
On that note, Pacers travel home for another back-to-back. And it's basketball day in Indiana, December 10th. All sorts of games going on this day, but it's capped with the Blazers coming to town. And the Pacers win this one 118-111. And Jason, basically what happened here was what you said didn't happen in Dallas, which was PG basically taking this game by the scruff of the neck and just winning it for him. I think he scored the last 15 or 16 points for the Pacers, and he was just a monster. You know, one thing was just big rip, you know, rip the ball away and just dunk it and scream in Lillard's face. And
that was a little too aggro for me, but yeah.
It's a little bit. It was. But I was excited with him. You know, and it was basically that kind of sealed the game. You know, there was, you know, he played great at the end. And also, big shout out to Thaddeus Young, his 6 3-pointers. Which if you just looked at the box score, you may think that was a misprint, but no, he was on fire, and he kept them in this game. You know, they got down big early. I think they were down by 20 at one point, and they fought and they clawed. They got their way back into the game, and you know, and this is something that I think, you know, we as Pacer fans kind of get used to is when they get down by a lot, they just don't come back. You know, even if it's early, they just don't come back. Mm-hmm. And you know, this one against a good team. You know, the Blazers are you know, maybe underperforming a little bit this year, but Lillard is you know at least in the conversation of MVP, he's just having a terrific season. He's a terrific competitor, and you know, he played well, and the team is it's a solid team. So even though it's at home, they had to do it on a back to back. The Pacers did so after a long road trip. So. Good win by these guys.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
Jason, great. Did you think, what did you think of PG there at the end of the game?
I loved it. This is what I want from my MVP candidate, right? I need him to take over these games. This was very reminiscent of that, the win against the Lakers about a month ago now, where he just dominated down the stretch and said, look, you're not going to stop me. You want to put Damian Lillard on me? Please, let's
go.
Why
did they do that?
I don't know. It was great play execution by the Pacers. I mean, they, you know, they do that screen roll with he and Teague and force a switch,
force the pin
and then
down switch, yeah.
And he can just shoot over any of those guys or bully his way into the lane. Yeah, I thought this was, you know, like you said, Joey. I mean, very reminiscent of that Clippers game. Get down big and claw our way back in. And these games are especially, this was the first game back from a five-game road swing and the second night of a back-to-back. And Portland had just been waiting there since Wednesday. They hadn't played since Wednesday. So this is a game that's tough, very, very tough to win. So this is really excellent win that these guys got here. Yeah, and I mean, you get a little bit lucky in that you can't count on Thaddeus Young to hit 6 3-pointers. But he did. And
sure.
Kept us in the game and kept us afloat. And then PG did exactly what I want him to do.
Come alive in the fourth.
Often. Yeah.
And PG, after the game in his post game, he said, you know, I was the one there at the end, but it was Thaddeus Young who kept us in this game. Right? Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Which I love. I think, to be fair, I got to give a shout out to the coaches on this one, getting us prepared for a game, coming off, a back-to-back. And having us prepared, because the last time we played this team, we weren't prepared. We made the adjustments. We forced the switches. This is a solid team win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ellis had just a terrible game in Dallas. I thought he helped keep us in this game in the first quarter, while Damian Lillard was, scoring 19 points and... Ellis was aggressive and got to the free throw line, and he didn't have a great overall game, but I was really impressed with his energy in the first quarter, and I thought it kept this thing from getting out of control. They did score 40 in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Shout out to him.
44, yeah.
Okay. It was 40 with 2 minutes to go. That's what I've got down here. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Shout out to him for at least, being more aggressive than he was in the previous game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might have cost him his hamstring, but, whatever.
Hey, a win's a win.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, we won this with defense, right? Paul George scores 13 straight, but that's all the Trailblazers have scored in the final frame. 13 mm-hmm. points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And having the ability to just turn it on for stretches is something that we need. We need to have that gear, right?
Totally. Totally. I thought it was interesting. Quinn Buckner made some comments about sort of the role players on Portland. You know, it's clear that their backcourt is amazing. Like, Lillard and McCollum are awesome. And all apologies to McCollum. You're totally worth that extension. So anyway, he was saying that, their role players, when they're up by 10... or down by 10, they'll take shots and they'll make them. But if it's close, they won't. They get afraid. It was very prescient, because there were a couple times where, Myers Leonard gets the ball kicked out to him wide open and wouldn't take the shot, and then you force him into a bad shot. They kind of collapse down the end, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, that's why guys are bench guys, right? And especially young bench guys are not going to play well on the road. And we're a tough place to play. Shout out fans for making it tough for teams to come into our house. Nice job,
Joey.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out this game also. Our friend of the family, Tony, took his family to the game. And afterwards, coming out of the tunnel, Mason Plumlee, Myers Leonard, and Pat Connaughton came out and gave autographs to the kids, which I think is super cool to do on the road. You know,
nice.
You know, the kids are out there. Awesome. Man, that's great. You know, the kids want to see the Pacer players, but they're happy with you know, these guys too. So I think it's very cool that these guys take the time out of their day. You know, and they've been you know, they just got beat too. You know, that's I think it's really cool.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. I mean, that's tough as a player, right? To do that, but yeah, great character on that team. I love me and my Trailblazers. I root for him 363 days a year. But
this was a fantastic win for us and really important. I mean, I after that Dallas game,
great rebound.
Paul George said the Dallas game was the worst loss of the year, and they really took it hard, I guess. And to respond this way, not even 24 hours later, is, you know, says something, I think, about the character of this team, what this team can be. They they talked a lot about how the roles still aren't defined. Yeah, we're in December. We got a lot of guys on this team that don't know what their roles are yet. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're still figuring that out. And to, you know, instead of roll over and say, well, I guess, you know, we're not going to get it figured out, they gutted one out. So I think that's a testament to particularly Paul George, how he played and won this game. So,
well, not only that, but also to his leadership generally, right? Because I mean, I think a lot of times the difference, especially in a back-to-back situation, the response to those bad losses comes from sort of top of the leadership pyramid, right? Whether that's your coach or your best player, whether it's Rick Carlisle getting his team fired up coming off a loss or Paul George getting our guys fired up. You do, in order to be a great team in this league, you have to respond with real vitriol to those losses. You have to take that stuff personally.
Yep. You have to get angry. That's another thing. Joey, when we were at that Atlanta game, I was saying, somebody on this team has to get pissed off. We were like getting our asses kicked, and it's like, somebody has to get pissed off and do something about this. Like, and this team, I think, is built of such high character guys and professionals that, like, maybe that's that they're a little bit more patient to get to that point. But maybe now they're, you know, have found it.
Quinn Buckner said,
"One knucklehead."
Yeah.
Quinn Buckner said during the broadcast of this Portland game, "You can't control the schedule, but you can control your spirit," which I thought was nice. And you know, they did that in this game.
So, maybe he can. Yeah.
I can control my spirits.
Yeah. Well, somewhat.
I can't do that either.
Yeah.
I can control that they go in my mouth.
Well,
what are you drinking this week? Besides all the things.
All the things. On whiskey coke.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
Feeling fine.
What's the whiskey?
Beam. Jim Beam. Okay.
What's the coke?
Classic. Coke Zero. Watching my figure.
Okay.
Nice. I like it.
I need to get the recipe for that one. Sounds delicious.
5-1. Whiskey to coke.
That's awesome. All right. Well, yeah, the Pacers are going to have to keep bringing that spirit because the schedule doesn't get any easier in the coming week. On Monday, the Pacers are going to host Charlotte, who is, I think, currently third in the East and playing. They always play us tough. And then the Pacers go back out on the road for games against Miami on Wednesday, New Orleans on Thursday, and then Detroit on Saturday. And that Detroit game is going to be our game of the week, but we'll dive into that more on the Thursday show. Give you guys little things to think about. Yep. Going into that game,
I think Miami is on national TV.
Oh, really?
ESPN for that one, yeah.
Interesting.
Wow, ESPN is regretting that decision.
Yeah, we can watch that diehard rivalry.
Nobody left from that old team.
No, everybody's the same on both squads.
Gotta beat Miami. Gotta do it.
Well, I would like to see us build. Let's get a little win streak going here. Why can't we beat Charlotte and build on this momentum, you know?
Kemba's questionable for that game, too.
I've got a bunch of reasons why, but I guess, was that rhetorical? I'm sorry.
I'm looking forward to that New Orleans game.
Yeah, that's always
I want to see Miles Turner play Anthony Davis. I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be fun.
Sure. Hopefully he doesn't dive over the bench like he did last year. And then we couldn't get to see him. Do you remember that, Joey? That was so sad.
We were so excited. We're like, good to see AD in his natural habitat.
We got these really good seats. We're like, oh, I'm going to watch this freak of nature play basketball for 48 minutes. And then he, 2 minutes in the game, dives over the bench to chase a loose ball, and he's done for the game.
Awesome. And they let the fans let him hit the chairs.
Yeah, they
hit
the floor. Yeah. They jumped out of the way.
You get a wag of the finger, New Orleans. Anything else for this week, gentlemen? I'll take that as a nay.
I would like to say that take that, Colson. We went 3-2 last week.
I know. I said we were going to go 1-4.
Believe I had that.
You did have that.
I'm in the wrong multiverse, Joey. It's time to get tickets. We need to travel.
I'll check it on the kayak. And until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. We are on TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can send us an email at shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We got t-shirts for sale.
For a once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Is that the Cookie Monster?
That was the Cookie Monster remix.
Gotcha.
Cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C.
Pacers, Pacers, Pacers starts with P.
That's awesome.
Well done.
We got a new job.
You might be in the running to replace Bowser.
Is Bowser still around?
No, Bowser's dead. So that's why I don't want to. I killed
him many a
times. I don't want to get in position where I'm in the crosshairs of Boomer. So I'm just going to stay out of it. Bowser met a very violent end.
Wow.